Welcome to the Relapse from Recovery from Relapse meeting. Today is February 11th, 2025. We welcome Charles H. to share his experience, strength, and hope. Charles H. is from New York. He is a loyal member of Overeaters Anonymous. I, at this time, would like to welcome Charles H. The floor is yours, Charles.
Thank you, Santa. And I want to make an amends for not, you did ask me to send you a bio, and I failed to do so, but I think you did an incredible job. Thank you for your service, Santa. And thank you, everybody. Thank you, Rita, for inviting me to this amazing meeting, Recovery from Relapse. And those are two R's that are quite important in my life. And if I was to title this talk, I would call it From Reluctance to Recovery. And so there's some words, some R words that I want to really drill down on. And then, so I think so when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous, it was November 2011, and I was going to a lot of face-to-face meetings, and I was a liar. I was saying green, but I was saying green, but it was really red. I was lying. I lied to myself, and that was the worst part of it, right? So, there's some R's I want to really go down the list. Where I'm from New York, and where do I live now? I live in recovery. But actually, I'm from reluctancy. So I want to talk about, reluctancy, resistance, ratchet, rancid, resentment, rusty, restrict, rough, reckless, regret, rabid, rushed. I said rushed twice because I'm so quick on the draw. Rude, reprehensive, and repugnant. And so those are the R's that I'm going to drill down on as far as like where I when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous and prior to and where I'm from. I'm from reluctancy. I'm from and reluctancy means offering opposition, struggling against expressing intensive force. So, I had a sponsor and I didn't listen to anything the sponsor said. I was yesing him to death. Yeah, I will write a food history. I will not eat certain foods and I will not indulge in certain compulsive behaviors. Yet still, I was reluctant to follow any of his instructions. Relapse, I can't really say that I relapsed because I didn't have any recovery to relapse from. But relapse is suffering from a disease, deterioration after a period of improvement. So there was sometimes that I would go to meetings and I would get zinged up and zapped and I would be so pretty much I call it holding my breath underwater. So there were certain times that I had, I guess I relapsed from stark raving abstinence. I didn't relapse from recovery because I didn't have any recovery to relapse from. And so that was, 2011, the later part of that, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. Yeah, I was, I had periods of abstinence. I had no recovery. I was always running my mouth. I was talking all the time. So there was things c coming in my mouth, a lot of binge foods and a lot of foods that, I refrain from today. Refrain is another R word, but there was a lot of things coming out of my mouth too because I was ratchet, which is so there's a lot of meaning definitions for ratchet, but I'm gonna give you the hood definition for ratchet, which means low class and out of control. That really describes me in my early part of when I first came to OA. I was out of control, ratchet. I used a race card, another R, to be like, look, I'm different. I'm a middle-aged black man, all that nonsense, which doesn't mean anything today. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered from a body of state and a body of mind. I didn't even say that right, but I'm recovered one day at a time on a daily basis, contingent of the maintenance of my spiritual program, right? So resistance, I refuse. And could somebody give me a reminder like around 15 minutes? Because I don't want to be talking about negativity all through the whole 30 minutes. And I don't even know if I need 30 minutes, but I greatly appreciate a reminder after 15 minutes. But resistance, the refusal to accept and comply with something to prevent something by action or argument. So I was an arguer. I was a, you know, I was if you had a solution, I had a problem to match your solution. So I was very resistant when I first came to Overeaters Anonymous. Rancid, I was very unpleasant as a result of being so the old and stale I'm talking about is my attitude, not age. You know, so my attitude was old and stale. It was nasty, it was disgusting. And of course I was bitter, so I was resentful, indignation. I was rusty, impaired by a lack of practice. I was rusty. I didn't practice these principles in none of my affairs, right? I was rough, having an uneven or irregular surface, not smooth or level at all. You know, anybody that was somebody in Overeaters Anonymous, I was bucking up against them. You know, I partnered with a lot of people in Overeaters Anonymous, but I was not an easy person to get along with, because I had no recovery. I had no spiritual program. I act like I knew God, and I didn't even know God. I didn't even know how to pray. And when I did pray, I prayed for selfish things. Let's see. Limited in extent. I had a lack of abundance because I had no, you know, vision for you. The chapter talks about in the first couple of pages, do we have a substitute? I ain't have a substitute because I wasn't happy in my release because I wasn't released. I was still in bondage, right? So reckless, irresponsible, careless of consequences. I ain't care. Like I'm willing to pay the price of relapse, right? I'm willing to pay the price of, you know, being regretful and reckless and rough and rusty and rancid and unpleasant as a result. I said that already, but I needed to say it again because I was a very unpleasant individual. I was not enjoying my life. I was rabid, infected with a disease, right? I was rude, offensive, and impolite, ill-mannered. I was reprehensive, strong critic. I was a big critic of anybody that was acting like an OA president. I was chopping them up. I was character assassinating. I was gossiping. I was just talking a lot of smash, a lot of crap, you know, with people. I didn't get along with nobody in Overeaters Anonymous. And I used a race card as an advantage to me, which was wrong. I was repugnant, extremely distasteful, and unacceptable. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even accept me. I'm like, Charles, yo, you're a nasty guy, bro. Like, you're really not a nice person. So I know, like in qualifications, it's like what it was like, it was disgusting. What happened? I really, you know what? My relationships were all out of control. What happened? I don't really know. I can't describe the day it happened or what happened, but I could tell you that, you know, I needed to be rebuilt. So, I could tell you that, you know, I was doing, I thought I was doing service in Overeaters Anonymous, but, I don't know. I was tearing down a lot of people's lives. I was causing havoc, ruckus. It was just ridiculous. So, yeah, I broke every tradition, every OA suggestion. Yeah, I just was a man on an island, and I was very dishonest, very rude, very fearful, very bitter. And what happened was I just got sick and tired of not reaping the benefits of recovery. And so They're starting to rebuild. And rebuild is to build something after it has been damaged. So I was damaged by my own actions. I mean, I went to Vision for You, all the conventions. I went to Colorado, the retreats. I went to Florida. I went all over Boston, worlds, everywhere. And I was acting, I was wearing recovery like it was a badge, like it was a badge of honor. And I'm like, I'm Superman. And the kryptonite was just those four core character defects: resentment, dishonesty, selfish, and fear. Those four character defects were my kryptonite. And so I wanted to be rebuilt. I wanted to be reborn. I wanted to be reconstructed. I wanted to be restored because I realized that I need to be repaired and reinstated. And the results of recovery is relentless. It's a relentless seeking of that. And I rest today. I realize that I need rest, and I realize that I need balance, and I need a peace of mind instead of giving you a peace of mind. So, even in one of the meetings that I co-founded, I had to leave that meeting because I had to leave that meeting because it just so sometimes some I don't know if I blessed anybody, but I left and I took my Zoom account with me. And it was a time where COVID was in play, and there was a group that I was a founder of. And we went from that to Zoom. So I took that Zoom account, and things didn't get better at that point. I was still a tyrant, a control freak. And I ran a lot of people away. I was a micromanager, and it was just disgusting. I was Charles H. I was disgusting, in my mannerisms. So what happened was I realized that I needed to be reconstructed and reorganized. And so no pun intended, and no joke, everybody left. Everybody left that group. And it was bad. It was really bad. But how many knows
Excuse
that?
me.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going into what happened and what it's like. So, what happened was I looked at the current situation, I looked at all my relationships, and I was like, this is rock bottom. And the foundation was set. We went from four meetings to one. We turned from a phone meeting to Zoom, and it was rocky. A couple of years of rockiness, and so at that point, I knew I needed to be rebuilt because I had been damaged, and I had been damaged by me. I had been damaged by the isms: indescribable short memory, I see me, and it was nasty. And I looked at Charles, Charles looked at Charles and said, "Yo, this needs to be repaired." And so, so I changed sponsors. I really got serious with recovery. I worked the steps abstinently. I became a vegan. It's just what I needed for me. I didn't want to put it. I was dead already, so I didn't want to put nothing dead in my body anymore. I wanted to be relieved of the toxic things that I was relying on. And yeah, it was a struggle even then, because I didn't know, everything that people ate. I thought of, first of all, I thought I was just I knew I was abnormal, but I thought I was normal. So I don't know, it was just a lot of mixed emotions going on. But how many know that conflict is healthy in order to get reorganized. So those are the things that really pushed me into recovery. You know, the reluctancy, oh, I ain't doing that, or the resistance, the rancid, the resentments, the restriction, the reckless attitude, the rushing everything, the rude mindset. It raced me into rebuild mode. And so for me, I had to go to Al-Anon too. Al-Anon, and I'm not going to mention it a lot, but Al-Anon really helped me. Like, I don't like you enough to hate you. Like, everybody's equal. So Al-Anon gave me that concept that, hey, you know what? This is an inside job. It's not about the compulsive overeater, not about the alcoholic. It's about me getting some reconstruction. So I was reconstructed by my own behaviors. I didn't want to be renewed, I wanted to be reborn. So I really took the steps again. We had a tradition workshop because I realized I needed it because I broke so many traditions, and Overeaters Anonymous and Al-Anon has really saved my life. And I had to grow through what I went through in order to be living where I am today. So I was resurrected, a dead person brought back to life. I was restored, reinstated. I realized that the fact that my life was unmanageable, I mean, really unmanageable, not just from food, just from relationships. So those relationships needed to be repaired, restored, reinstated. And I'm relentless in that pursuit on a daily basis. You know, and I don't do it for the data boys. I don't do it for, yo, my God, you're such a great person. I'm not really. I'm really not a great person. I'm just another bozo on the bus. I stopped talking on a bunch of meetings. I stopped going to a bunch of meetings that was triggering me. Yeah, because my peace is more important. I learned how to pray for not for things and not for stuff. I learned how to pray in adoration. Like I didn't adore my God. I was just like asking God for stuff, right? So I learned how to pray for others. And in adoration, I thanked instead of asking for stuff. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it does to me. Like I thank God for another day. I thank God for my relentless pursuit of restoration. I thank God for being resurrected from the dead. I thank God for, you know, not having relapse on a daily basis. I thank God for not being self-righteous. I thank God for rest. I thank God for results. I thank God for a resting period. I thank God for recovery on a daily basis. And so what it's like now is I'm a part of OA Virtual Region, OA Intergroup. I'm the finance chair of that group. I partner with people. I did some concept work, and I realized that, you know, leadership is about making other leaders. That's what leadership is about. It's not about being on top. It's not about being the, you know, the most important person in the mental illness program. It's about sharing the responsibilities to carry the message so that others can have an opportunity to recover. So I'm relentless in those results. You know, I sponsor people, but I don't chase them. I don't run around. I got a busy life because of this recovery. And recovery is a return to a normal state of health, mind, and strength. And I have a prayer life. I meditate and I listen for answers. I do a gratitude list on a daily basis. I do 10 steps. I can ramp those up a little bit more. I have a God squad. I went to the OA birthday party. I kept low. I didn't go to a bunch of you know, I try to stay low. I try to fly under the radar. I do have other pursuits outside of Overeaters Anonymous that, because I put my recovery first, it gives me an opportunity to have a platform to live life beyond my wildest dreams. And it has nothing to do with Overeaters Anonymous, but it is a basis as a result of putting my program first. I say no a lot to speaking engagements. My relationships in the marketplace have changed, for the better. I still have issues with my personal relationships and because that's just what it is that, but I'm willing to confront those and make them be better. Sometimes God makes me uncomfortable so that I can move. And that's what happened in my story. So the way I was living life prior to what it's like now and what happened was a result of me, myself, and I. So when I started putting God first in my life, things changed. So, I mean, is there still traces of the old me? Yeah, absolutely, on a daily basis. But is there still an opportunity to be better than yesterday? Absolutely. I show up for work every day. I'm a leader in spiritual congregation. I visit the poor. I visit the sick. It's as a result of my recovery from relapse. It's as a result of my recovery from relapse. I don't get caught up in numbers anymore. I don't, I just try to live better than I lived yesterday. Those of you that knew me before, I want to make an amends to you. That person is dead. That person is dead. I have been reborn and restored to manufacturers, to a manufacturing normal state of health and mind and body. Yeah, I don't put anything dead in my body. I just try to remove dead things from my body, like resentments, fears, dishonesty, selfishness, self-seeking motives, self-centered fear, and things of that nature. I do have a big God squad. I'm getting better at doing reach around calls and 10 steps and things of that nature. I pray and meditate consistently. I try to do it 3 or 4 times a day. So from reluctancy to recovery is what I would title this talk. And I'm gonna leave some time on the clock. I don't think I need all that time. I'd like to hear from you guys. And with that, I will pass. Thank you very much.